Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saber call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. All right, too deadly. A new children's clinic to revolutionise a diabetic eye treatment. So a new eye clinic to treat children and adults will help to reduce blindness in West Australia children with diabetes. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Lions Eye Institute ophthalmologist, Associate Professor Chandra Bulla on the line. A very good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good, Trevor. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, fantastic. A beautiful way of seeing the world, a new eye clinic to treat children and adults to help reduce blindness in West Australia. So what is this new treatment we got, please, Professor?
Trevor, it's really just a screening service because what we found in Western Australia was that children with diabetes, type 1 and type 2 diabetes, weren't meeting the guidelines for screening for eye disease. Because as you may know, the longer a child has diabetes, the more likely they are to have some issue with the eye. And this is really because, you know, it's very hard to get into the public system because there's so many patients waiting for an appointment. So what the Lions Eye Institute have done in Perth is opened up a service where we basically work in collaboration with the diabetes service at Perth Children's Hospital, which is the tertiary service for children in Western Australia, and we make sure that all the children are screened appropriately. And that's really released the burden from the public sector and also allowed children to, you know, be detected early if they have any issues with their eyes. So this is really something that only commenced about a month ago.
Okay.
But, it's largely thanks.
And a long time waiting, even though it was a month ago, but a long time waiting.
Absolutely, yes. So it's a win-win for everyone, I think. I think it's, you know, the Children's Hospital are happy, the patients are very happy.
Good.
And it's going to be good for the community to do that, provide that service.
There would be a gap compared to non-Indigenous children to First Nation children?
There is a little bit of a gap there, you're correct. I mean, it's very similar to adults with diabetes as well, you know, basically access to care can be difficult. The rate of complications from the disease is also higher in Indigenous children and adults compared to non-Indigenous populations. So, you know, this service will be made available to everyone, including patients from rural Western Australia. So many of them will travel down to Perth for their diabetes check once a year. And during that time, we'll also provide that eye service as well to make sure that they have no issues with their eyes.
And people with diabetes, there is a higher problem regarding eye problems?
Yeah, absolutely. So the main problem that they may develop is what's called diabetic retinopathy.
Okay.
So, you know, for sort of the layperson that's not familiar with the anatomy of the eye, you know, the eye is almost exactly like a camera. And in the back of the eye, we have a film called the retina. And in diabetes, you can get bleeding in the retina over time, and sometimes it progresses to the point that, you know, patients can go blind or they can lose a significant amount of vision. So really what we can do with the screening service is detect these changes early and intervene. So often if we treat them with laser, it's a very effective treatment to prevent children from going blind. So, you know, hopefully we can reduce the morbidity from diabetes-related blindness with the service. That's the main goal.
Professor Chandra, I'm also picking up what you're saying, that is children with diabetes. Is that high numbers?
It's a very interesting question. So I think Australia has one of the highest rates of type 1 diabetes in the world, actually.
Which is not a trophy we want.
No, No, that's right. So, I mean, I think we're close to 2,500 new cases each year, about 7 new cases a day. And, you know, the rate is rising. So every year there's about a 3% increase in the incidence of diabetes as well. So,
and numbers in children are high as well?
Yeah. No, these numbers are for children.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Roddy, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a good statistic to have, as you said, and we certainly need to do something about that to, you know, plateau the curve, I guess.
So then it leads back to a diabetes problem. So what do we need to do regarding prevention of diabetes?
I guess, you know, it's basically, comes down to the basics, you know, diet, lifestyle, those sorts of things. I mean, you know, encouraging, you know, low sugar foods, exercise. It's really the simple things that we've known about for a long time. And once you have diabetes, you know, having good blood sugar control, you know, protecting the kidneys and the blood pressure, all of those things will reduce the risk of the, you know, eyes developing complications, actually. So, you know, there's really no silver bullet. It's just the, you know, sensible things that, you know, we've been told for years now.
And once diagnosed as having diabetes, is that with you for life thereafter?
Yeah, so we don't have a cure for diabetes at the moment. So it's all about controlling the condition. You know, the we've got much better therapies with the control of sugars and blood pressure and kidney dysfunction than we did 10 years ago. So, you know, I am optimistic about those sorts of things in that we can make sure that people stay healthy for longer. But there's really no cure at this point in time.
Okay, so we've got to deal with it, and the best way to deal with it is checkups and what have you. And now we have a new eye clinic to treat children, especially there in West Australia, and to reduce blindness. We are heading in the right direction.
I think so. Yeah, I think we have lots of reasons to be optimistic, Trevor. So, yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of work ahead of us, but we are going in the right direction with respect to treatment and screening in WA.
Yeah. Look, a fantastic, very important conversation. Thank you very much, Professor Chandra. All the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Okay. Thanks, Trevor. Okay. I'll see you later.
Bye-bye. A very important yarn there, Associate Professor Chandra Bulla, and he's with the Lions Eye Institute ophthalmologist, and a very important conversation about a new eye clinic to treat children and adults and will help reduce blindness in West Australia, children with diabetes. Diabetes is across the globe. Once with it, then you just need to work with it because it's with you forever, but you need to do what you need to do for preventing it. That's what it's all about. Have a talk to your doctor or your First Nation health organization, and also always do your checkups and do your eye checkup as well while you're in there. Have your say, Jan Armstrong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Soon talking about familiar ground. You'd been on the road for many a day, and I listened to what that old man had to say. He said, son, music is the love of my life, and I never had the time for a while. Traveled this land singing all around. I played in pubs where you kept your head down. The country singer knows every song. The work is hard and the road is long. Singing is what he does best. But following the dream is the test. People follow you from the start. All you do is sing it from the heart. tides will carry them right along. As I sit and listen to your song, a country song is about the story you tell. Some do it okay, but few do it well. As we drove into Tamworth, it was night. His eyes lit up as he saw the city alight. The country singer knows every song. The work is hard and the road is long. Singing is what he does best, but following the dream is the test. An early morning rise, a long way to go. The troubadour is headed for another show. At journey's end I felt I knew him well. Just imagine all the stories he could tell.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Well, I've never really known why the sun always sets in the west.
In the west.
And I've been thinking about the way that they've always said the fresh is the best.
It's the best.
I can't begin to describe the way you put your arms around me. There's something about you that's really extraordinary. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want you to know that I love the way you move. I want to get to know you now that your love shines through. I want you to know that I love the way you move. Cause it's an evergreen life that I'm living with you, and I can never find the words that would really do. Ooh, to say all the things that you pull me through, I could never do those things I do.
Sometimes it's a part of life of growing up, you must try. It's a beautiful process of love and devotion, of meeting someone, look into their eyes. And if you feel the chemistry there, ask them for the name. That's the start of small, small love, little romance. Small love, small, small love. That's the start of something that can express part of a bed. Long love is a part of growing up. We're a couple married for 25 years ago. They started a small, small love. Too long love. Cherish all the love and respect. That's what you need to make your love connect. Love each other with only eyes for one another throughout your whole life. Their problems, no matter who you are. But if you stay true to one another, everything will pass you by. But you must discover that you have to build on love together. Small love, small, small love. It's the start of something that can reach the stars above. Part of growing up with couples married for 25 years or more. They started a small, small love. Than me. Love can last a whole lifetime. When that first glance, first kiss, first everything. You feel happiness and love divine. Your bliss is what you're feeling. So
yeah, it's called Small Love. Troy and Trevor and Brady here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call. Yarn with the Bully on Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from McCurry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. If you're on the shy side, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. Or in our Facebook page as well for your keyboard warriors, BBM 987 FM. Are you going to catch up with the boys in blue? Usually a girl here. Nicole, big shout out, my sister. Missing you. A lot prettier than these three boys in front of me, but we have Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, our PLO, Stephen Grant, and also Naya Martin, first year constable. A very good morning to you all, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, thank morning, you very Trev. Much. We'll go with Naha. Naha, talk to me, please, brother. First year constable. Naha Martin, have I got the pronunciation right?
It's pronounced Naya.
Naya. And so where's Naya come from?
It's Japanese.
White brother, you don't look Japanese.
I'm far from Japanese. I think my parents were going through some sort of life moment at that point in time.
And you was the guinea pig.
I was the guinea pig, and here I am.
So tell me about your childhood life growing up, Naha.
Yeah, so.
Sounds American Indian, actually.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? Well, the meaning of Naya itself is guide you on the right path.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think,
so you became a police officer.
I became a police officer. I don't know how well I'm going so far, but here I am doing my best.
Well, there you go, brother. Welcome to the program. And Senior Glenn Delay, Sergeant Glenn Delay, how are you, my brother?
Very good, thank you.
Bit of a haircut going on there.
I'm doing my very best to impersonate you. And
that's a big job, brother. Big shoes are filled there, brother. Looking smooth. And also Stephen Grant, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, my brother. Who are you, mob? Where are you from?
Yeah, Trev, Jidwal Warrior from the Kasseri Coast region, Mission Beach, Cardinal, Tully area.
Yes.
So it's a great area to grow up.
Yep, fantastic. And as you were saying, you were doing a bit of work down there at Sherberg area?
That is correct, yep.
How long were you down there for?
3.5 years.
Big shout out, Sherberg Mob.
Sherberg Mob there, and my colleague, Mr. Victor Alberts, should be drinking his coffee at Walker's Coffee Bar this time of the morning.
No, the routine, eh?
That's correct.
Do police officers do donuts here in America?
I've banned donuts.
Is that station. Right?
Yeah.
Senior Sergeant Lloyd, put his foot down.
No, okay. We don't eat donuts.
Never Sean tea?
Maybe the odd
scones, cream and jam?
The odd biscuit, but definitely not.
Cream bun Friday. Cream bun Friday.
Cream bun Friday. All right, I must drop in, boys. Cream bun Friday. But I got what you call furniture disease. My chest dropped in my drawers. I had to get that back up here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, a very important conversation. This fantastic segment is Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni IGA, Brinsmead in Edmonton, and they give us a box of fruit here once a week. And we promote healthy living, healthy lifestyle to a school-based traineeship, as well as all our staff. So, like, chew on a banana or an apple rather than a chico roll, you mob. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, our topic today, gel blasters.
Yes.
So I was just YouTubing it. It's like a gun.
It is.
It's a toy gun, but what are we finding? Constituents out there walking around with gel blasters, which is looking like a gun, which is detrimental to...
A little bit concerning.
Concerning, yeah, to the safety of constituents.
Yep. So we are, the Queensland Police Service is responding to an increasing calls for service to what witnesses described as a person with a weapon or with a gun.
Yes.
And on most of these occasions when they're investigated, we're finding that what they actually are is these toys, which are gel blasters. Mm. But for your listeners that have never seen a gel blaster, they are almost exact replica of
a gun, of a rifle, a machine gun.
They can be replicas of our Glocks that police use, or they can be, yeah, absolutely, your semi-automatic weapons.
And they are legal.
They're legal. They're currently legal in Queensland. Other states have different laws regulating the use of gel blasters. So it's currently not an offence to possess a gel blaster in Queensland.
Is it a licence as an arm?
You don't need to licence to possess one. So
well, you can't be walking around with it.
No. Look, they are fairly popular with a group of people, you know, that enjoy the games that they play with them.
Games, it's a game, isn't it? Yep.
You know, but our concern is obviously because it's so realistic that members of the community do believe that it's a gun, and that does cause them fear.
Is there an age where you can own a gel blaster?
I'm not aware. There's no restrictions on the sale of gel blasters in this state.
Kid, 13-year-old walking around in Cairns Central with a gel blaster.
Yeah,
it can be looking very scary.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. So there are offences that wrap around that still get committed, even though it is a toy.
Well, when you say it's a replica, it looks like a gun.
Correct. Yep.
So if you come across somebody with that in their hand, you're asking them to put the weapon down. If they face it towards you, you don't know as a copper.
I don't know
what
it's
going to
be.
No, that's right.
Exactly.
And look, nor would you sort of, you would absolutely believe it was a gun, and you would respond that it was a gun.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when those sorts of incidences, when police do come across members of the community that do have a real gun, the reaction time that we have is microseconds. And that's the difficulty.
So outlets who are selling those particular gel blasters, there's got to be rules that go with it.
Not with the sale of them.
No.
Not at this stage in this state. So, I know you've got listeners all over this country, so
yep.
People would have to check in with their individual states
Okay.
With what their laws are. But currently in Queensland, There's no restrictions. But I'd advise anyone that does have possession of one that they do keep an eye on that, because some states are moving, as Queensland may at some stage, to regulate the use of those gel blasters. And that may be a consideration before buying one as well.
Are they similar to paintball guns?
Yeah, so from what I understand, they're using a canister of compressed gas to fire the small ball of gel out of the barrel of the weapon. Yep.
Okay. So there it is. So is it becoming popular? Are you finding it here in far north Queensland or across probably cities?
It's probably across the country.
It's growing. Yeah. It's definitely growing as it becomes more aware to the public and, you know, how easy accessible they are.
Sure.
People will probably start jumping on board more.
Yeah.
So it probably will start being seen more throughout the north up here.
Okay. So I know, I'm just trying to fathom the thought process behind it. I mean, walking on the streets, you're going to go down to the street, down the bush, down the creek to do some shooting.
Yeah.
But you're walking on the street carrying the gun like so.
Yeah. So there are laws.
People are making phone calls to the police.
Absolutely. And you are committing an offence. By having it,
exposed
displayed
like that,
in the public area, or if it's even observed, from another area and you're in a public area, so someone's in their house and they're looking across the park and you have these weapons.
So in actual fact, it should be like in the boot of the car if you're driving to an area to meet up with all your games players to go and play the game, then you bring it out in that area. But you can't be carrying down the street to go to that area because already walking along the streets with a gun.
But even in the area, in the park, you're still committing that offence of going armed to cause fear, because members of the public that also have access to those parking areas or public areas, they don't know that that's not a real gun. So
sure. Oh, I'm talking about a designated park area, like they have paintball areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, fenced off the way you do it.
But that's right, yep. So you'd have to keep that concealed.
Sure, exactly.
On the trip there.
But I'm saying don't walk down from your house to that area carrying the gun openly.
Not at all, no.
Put it in a booty car or wrap it up. When you get there, then take it out of the wrapping, so to speak.
Absolutely, yep. So they must be concealed. So, there's and other offences that we look at is just if someone even just points the gel blaster at a person, there's an offence of common assault there, because that causes them fear that they are going to be... and certainly if it's discharged at a person, there's obviously the common assault when the pellet hits that person.
But yeah.
Assault occasionally...
I don't, gentlemen, have you ever been shot by one?
I have not.
No. Not, bit of not while sting. Working.
No.
No, not while working, but I mean,
I have.
You ever come across?
It can give you a little bit of a sting. A little bit of a welt.
Is that right? Yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
Depending how it's been
done. And then we've got if there's bruising, then there's an assault, occasional bodily harm. And if you lose an eye,
then
we're looking at the grievous bodily harm. So they're not an innocent toy.
Well, that person can see you as well, you know, like then you're talking about, well, blindness.
Yep. So, there's some of the considerations. You also can't shoot animals with a gel blaster.
Okay.
So there's offences there.
Cruelty to animals, yes.
Absolutely. So there's some of the considerations people need to make when they're using these toys that actually do fire a projectile.
So you as officers, do you go to like an outlet that sells it to talk to them, to talk about the rules that come with it? Or
well, that's the problem at the minute, is that there's no real restrictions on the sale of these items to members of the public. Usually if our crews are coming into contact with gel blasters, it's normally in the local park where a group of young people have taken upon themselves to have a little game.
Yeah, sure.
And members of the community are concerned.
The backyard is too small, let's go down to the park.
Yep. Fortunately,
yeah, exactly.
Because police are aware of it, attending the job, they're already discussing whether they think this is a real firearm incident or a gel blaster game.
Yep.
And, if it's not accompanied with loud gunfire, consideration would be that it is a gel blaster game.
So I suppose a warning could be done while we're talking here now. If you've got a gel blaster and the police come along, you best put the weapon down straight away, explain to them, hands up, explain to them, It's only a jail blaster, yeah, so, but then you'll have your conversations.
Looking at some of the incidences that our troops have come into contact with jail blasters, how it sort of rolls out is when they go to that incident, even though in the back of their mind that they've already made the decision it's possibly a jail blaster incident, they treat it as a real firearm incident.
Have to.
So it's quite scary for the young fellas that do have the jail blasters, because the police do draw their firearms.
Yeah.
There's a lot of yelling and shouting and yes. directions for them to yes. get on the ground, put the weapon on the ground.
Yes.
Don't move. They can handcuff them if they feel fit until they can prove that this is not a jail blaster. Then sure. these are incidents happening out in the
but for the police to engage, they're in public with this yep. jail blaster, which looks like a gun.
Exactly. Yep. So so it can be quite frightening for the young children that are out there oh, playing exactly. a game. But you know, police will absolutely approach this as it is a
real
weapon.
And hence my question: how old do you have to be to purchase a jail blaster? And if there's no age, a 15-year-old, 14-year-old can go out there by gun, but they're walking around with not knowing the rules of engagement or the position they put themselves
yeah,
in.
Or having the maturity exactly. to know the responsibilities of playing those games with that toy. Mm. So, look, I do think at some stage legislation will move yeah, and, you know, it will be regulated at some stage. Just at the moment it's not regulated.
Well, it's sad, but fatality, if someone's in the park with a jail blaster and they face it towards you as officers, you're drawing your guns.
Correct.
And then the rule will come out.
Yeah, look,
let's have the rule beforehand.
Exactly. We hope, you yes. know, this doesn't ever result in an injury yes. or fatality yes. of any person. So, that, I mean, that's why we're on the program today to talk about this, so people are aware.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, look beyond the fun of the game.
Yeah.
You know, the coolness of the toy and make those decisions, you know, as you're saying, conceal it before they get to where they need exactly. to use it. And certainly if police are arriving, you know, obey every direction that's given to them.
Yep.
And look, even to the point of going into your local police station and saying, hey, we're going down to Billy Joe's farm to have a game if you get any sure. calls for service.
Yes.
And this is my contact
okay.
number.
You're doing your bit there.
Then look, it helps police know what's going on.
Exactly.
And
okay.
Yeah, that may be something you could possibly do to help yourself out.
Sure. Exactly. I know, brother, I'm looking at Brother Steve here. When you and I were growing up, brother, never heard of jail blasts. You and I were dodging Changais.
Yes, that's correct. You know? Things have changed in 40 years.
In common. So there it is. First year constable. You haven't come across anything like that?
Nah, not on the streets at all. But yeah. I'm definitely hearing more and more stories. Mm. Obviously, the media are portraying it a lot more. And yeah.
So the bullets, they come in packages, do they, for this gel blaster guns?
Mm. Yeah, you can buy them in quite big packets, like 200, 300, 400.
And some of them machine guns, eh?
Yeah.
Just shoot off, fire off, fire off. Yeah, semi-automatic.
Mm.
There it is. Okay, gel blasters, they're out and about. You might need to be careful if you are purging or looking at, you know, getting into that frame of games. But you need to do very carefully and don't carry the weapons in public. Because they're looking like a machine gun, looking like a gun, a real gun, replica of a gun. And you may get phone calls and the police may attend and it could be create havoc.
Mm.
So look before you leap, so to speak.
That's the one.
Yeah. All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. Very good yarn. Gel blasters. We have all different yarns. And when we catch up with you guys from Edmonton Police, fantastic. We'll be on soon. When's Sister Nicole back at the desk?
I think she's... few more weeks or next week?
Well, as I Monday. Mentioned, she's a lot prettier Monday. Than you three boys.
Oh, she's back Monday, isn't
she? Yeah.
Monday we go. So
she's a lot prettier
right.
than you three boys. I mean, good to see you, brothers, but come
Steve's,
on.
Steve's got her all managed.
I just talked to an ophthalmologist about eyesight. You guys are hurting my eyesight, you know what I'm saying? All the best, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you're
too deadly. That was Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pocone, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton, with Edmonton Police, Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy, First Year Constable Nahar Martins, and also PLO Police Liaison Officer Stephen Dredd. That brother owes me lunch. I know where he lives. All good. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black. Ready for the yarn, your mob, here on your daily program. National Talk Black, to Delhi.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
I've been not afraid, but I will hear your word and pray, Lord, now. folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
I've been through its ups and downs. I'm beginning to wonder if our worlds are the same. When your life starts to crumble, do you have someone to blame? For I would climb every mountain, pay the price that I have to pay. Walk in my shoes for one day. Sometimes when I travel right on across the sacred land, met with blind refusals, I find it so hard to comprehend. Slowly times are a-changing, there's a whisper in the air. To walk with one across that bridge is a vision we can share. For I would climb every mountain, pay the price that I have to pay. You could walk in my shoes.
In my shoes, Kutcher Edwards here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yeah, it's about walking a mile in someone's moccasin, getting to know a person before judging. It's a very important conversation there. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. This program's National Talk Black, and I'm the host, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station in Cairns here, BBM Bumper Brit Media, 19.7 FM, and the show goes across country thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and a big shout-out to all our First Nation radio stations across the deadly country of ours, Deadly Black Network, Yarn Up Strong, your mob too deadly. Let's go to the AFL scores over the weekend, kicking off the round one for 2021 season. Richmond did defeat Carlton, 105 points to 80. Collingwood defeated Western Bulldogs, in actual fact, sorry, the other way around. Bulldogs defeated Collingwood, 69 points to 53. Fremantle got beaten by Melbourne Demons, 80 points to 58. Adelaide Crows defeated Geelong, 103 points to 91. Essendon went down by 1 point to Hawks, 91 to 92. The Sydney Swans kicked the Brisbane Lions butt, 125 to 94. And also the Port Adelaide defeated North Melbourne, 117 points to 65. The St Kilda got up against GWS Giants, 86 points to 78. And West Coast Eagles defeated Gold Coast Suns, 83 points to 58. That was the round that was the first round, and we come up to the second round happening on Thursday night. We've got Carlton versus Collingwood, and then we have on Friday night match is Geelong Cats versus Brisbane Lions. On Saturday, Sydney Swans up against Adelaide Pro, as well as Port Adelaide take on Essendon. And also you've got St Kilda versus Melbourne Demons. And then on the Sunday, and actually that's still on Saturday night, Gold Coast versus North Melbourne. On the Sunday match, here we go, Hawks up against Richmond. So Hawks against the Tigers. Western Bulldogs versus West Coast Eagles. And the last game there on that round two is Fremantle versus GWS Giants. So all happening on the AFL, the footy's back, you mob. So whether you chase, follow NRL or AFL, get excited about your code. That's all happening here on your daily program, National Talkback. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with someone on the line. Too Deadly. Thank you. Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning, your brother. Yeah, brother, I like you. I love the session you were, Sergeant Glenn Delay. I love it, brother.
Good conversations, eh?
Oh, yeah. The whole idea of brother Robert Hollingsworth.
Yes.
Your idea, the concept is bloody good. I can say, I can like using the F word.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
Yeah, but when I get on those, you know, the kids' crime site and, you know, people don't know what to do or what not to do, I always tell them, you could ring in them, or if you get in here, you can. I give the text number and text like yourself, and maybe they can pick
and join the conversation or ask their question with the police officer direct. Yes,
yeah, brother. And one of the things that come up on this crime site is what to do or what not to do, brother. But I know you can also Google citizen's arrest, and I said, what did you know? Text brother there, brother. Mm. Plenty of crab and
yes.
It's up to them to
exactly.
To call in, and I say that too. And the comments, I say, if you're on the shy side,
on the shy side, that's shy right, side, that's right, exactly. Text.
But anyway, brother, again, a touch on now what Sergeant Glenn Delay was talking about, going home in public to cause fear.
It does.
When I come back from the way I've been moving into Townsville in 1978, I had a job there. They gave me a job there. And one of the training we underwent, what happened was a professor, professor Khan from Arizona, he done it with the Papago Indians, and his Augmentfeld, and his concept was based on the Chinese barefoot doctor. And what they was going to do, they were going to go to Groot Island because it was a tribal setup, but because of Cyclone Tracy, done it in Townsville instead, and they trained us down there. And one of the things we did do was part of our training, we used to go up to the Block B, the psychiatric ward, and that was way before they started suiciding up there. There was a 60-minute program on Block B in Townsville where people were jumping from the balcony up at 6B. It was before that. But we used to go up there and sit in the sessions, and how easily it is for psychologists, psychiatrists, or people of the helping profession to label our people, that women in there as patients, they must say, like manic depression or schizophrenic or something like that, when our fees are separate to that, the fees are real, you know, to us, brother. And when Sergeant Glenn Delay was talking about going home in public in order to cause fear, I think I asked him before, I said, black magic, brother, when you threaten people, and it really does cause fear to our people. It's the same thing, like I suppose you can carry a small scissors, you know, brother. But and yeah, I passed it, I think, by him before. But that's my comment on that. And the other one was, there's two more good story. I like that, brother. From the proverbial back of bed with the moustache on ABC, he's a co-host. I like it, brother. It's really deadly. And another story from the TOs from Cairns, given permission for Stephanie Gilmore to call the surf. I think it's National Surfing Australian Surfers. Kind, your brother. Okay, brother. That's what I can say.
No, yeah, thank you, my brother.
Thanks to the TOs, brother, for permitting that, brother. Thank you, brother.
Too deadly. Thank you, Selwyn. Regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarning up strong there is Selwyn, regular caller, like I said, and good to have his yarn and across this nation and do add to the conversation with National Talk Black. Got the news coming up very soon. Stay tuned. Got about 6 minutes. Squeeze in the yarn if you wish. 1-800-422-416. Boys Gurumul there with the Sydney Sympathy Orchestra. Fantastic. Having your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You mob may have to do it tomorrow. Murray, going to sign off here very soon. News come through. Anthony Mundine has retired from boxing for real this time. Mundine, 45, said that he was retired after being knocked out by Michael Zarafa inside round one on March 13. However, he had made such announcement before, only to launch comebacks. The man on Wednesday announced that no more comebacks would occur, and he was officially hanging up the gloves with a record of 48-11, 28 knockouts, and multiple world titles during his heyday. So congratulations there, brother. Relax and enjoy the retirement life. Chock, we'll be catching up soon, my brother, too deadly. This is your daily program, National Talk Back. Trendy Trev going to sign off. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat tomorrow. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. 1 hour program, so do add to the conversation. But otherwise, thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic. Abide by the rules. Get your vaccine or talk to your doctor or your First Nation health organization about your decision. Let's go to Jessica Mowboy. Take us up to the news. What a man, too deadly.